reminded that we'll be changing our schedule starting next week. Next week, we will be moving our Bible classes to Sunday night, and we will have three worship services in order to be able to keep our distancing proper for all three services. So we'll have 8 o'clock, a 9:30, and an 11 o'clock morning worship service, and then Bible classes will be at 6 o'clock that evening. I want you to be making your way to the book of Isaiah chapter 52. I want to look at a word this morning and think about it from the standpoint of what we talked about last week, and that word is the word gospel, which means good news. The word gospel, the definition is on the screen. A gospel is an announcement of good news. And in particular, the gospel is the announcement that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection have brought about salvation for Israel and the world. And that's from the Lexham Theological Word Book, that definition of the word gospel. The word gospel in the Greek is the Greek word euangelion, and comes through Latin to us as the word gospel. But it simply means good news. And wherever in the Bible you read the word gospel, you are reading sometimes translated good news, sometimes translated or not translated, but given as the word gospel. And you might wonder, how in the world can you get euangelion out of E-U-A-G-G-E-L-I-O-N? And that's really simple. Actually, it's not. But when in the Greek language you have two G's side by side together, the first G becomes an N, and you pronounce it as N-G. So it's pronounced euangelion, which is our word gospel, which means good news. Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8 is writing from Jerusalem. Philip is taken from the Samaritans and brought by God and the Holy Spirit to meet this man who is traveling on his way back from Jerusalem to Ethiopia. And as Philip approaches the chariot, he hears the man reading. And the passage he's reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. The particular section that he's reading from are these words, verses 4 through verse 6. And those words are these: "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. He died for us. He paid for our sins." That's the good news. And we all know that, and we understand it. This man who is reading from the book of Isaiah, this Ethiopian, no doubt having read chapter 53, or in the process of reading chapter 53, had also just finished reading chapter 52. He wouldn't have known it as chapter 52 because it had no chapter separations and no verse separations. But he would have read what came just before this in Isaiah 53. Thus, our reading this morning came from Isaiah 52. And I want you to go with me back to that reading for just a second, and look over what is said about God, or what is said by God, Verse 3, God says, talking to the children of Israel about what's about to happen to them. They are about to go into Babylonian captivity because of their unfaithfulness. The Israelites about to be taken by the Assyrians. Isaiah is writing about the things that are going to occur. And Isaiah will say, you were sold for nothing, and you will be bought back or redeemed without money. And then he goes on to say, at first my people went down to Egypt to live. Lately Assyria has oppressed them. And now what do I have here? And then he says, for my people have been taken away for nothing, and those who rule them mock them. All day long my name is blasphemed. You can hear from the enemies of God how they're blaspheming God, talking about he has no power, no ability, and nothing. And his own people are being brought to shame, and some of those own people are blaspheming him. And then God says, but I'm telling you this before it happens. I'm telling you this before it occurs, so that you will know it when it happens, and so that you will know when it happens that I said it beforehand. So 700 years before it ever occurred, he wrote these words through Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. Here are the words. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring euangelion, who bring good news, who bring the gospel, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Now, I want to call your attention to two phrases that are used, and I want to put a little definition up. Then I want us to go back to this list, and I want you to think about it as we break it down. How good or how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring euangelion, good news. And then the phrase, two phrases after that, it will sing, who bring good tidings. That sounds almost exactly like good news. It sounds like a repetition. But there's a word added. And that word that is added is the word tidings. And that word tidings means a good thing, a benefit, something that is beneficial to us, a welfare, happiness, prosperity, a good thing in every way. And that's the idea behind the word. In everything you could think about, in every way imaginable, it is good news, this that God is going to bring. Now, I want you to break it down and take a look at all that is revealed to us in connection with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at these phrases that are used to describe this. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring the gospel, who bring good news, who proclaim peace, peace with God, peace between God and man, peace between man and man, peace among human beings, who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, good news in every way imaginable. In every way that you can think about it, it is good news. Who proclaim salvation, salvation, being saved, being brought back to God, being counted holy by God, being accepted by God, being forgiven of everything that I've ever done wrong, who bring salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Tonight, we're going to look at that particular phrase in particular, because tonight we're going to talk about the good news of the kingdom of God. And that is the kingdom of God. God reigns when this good news occurs. And this is how all of this is broken down in connection with what the Bible tells us about this good news. Do you know what the good news is? Can you tell somebody else? Can you tell somebody in a sentence what the good news is? Without going into detail from all different scriptures, do you know what it is? Every single one of us do. Every single one of us have trusted it. Every single one of us who are in Christ have believed it. But we get so hung up sometimes on the word gospel, and we make it almost a religious term and a religious word without looking at and thinking about the good news that is actually there. And we talked last week about the importance of sharing the good news with those that are around us. And today, we're going to look a little bit more at, in a simple way, how do you do that? In a simple way, what do you say? And how do you do that? Let's take a look at good news. What is it? We're going to open up to some verses of Scripture. Let me put them all up so you can turn to them. You'll notice that all of them, after 1 Corinthians 15, are from the book of Romans. And so you can go to Romans after 1 Corinthians 15 and just thumb through. And you can think about so many other verses in the Bible that say the same thing that said in these verses. Well, all of these verses are simply telling us about the good news. One of the ones most people would probably remember and recognize the easiest would be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the good news. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul makes it known in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, where he says, I'm reminding you of the gospel, that I preach to you. I'm reminding you of the good news, what I proclaim to you, what I told you about, and what saves you if you hold fast to what I taught you. If you hold fast to your trust in what Jesus has done for you. If you hold fast to that, this gospel is what saves you. And I made known to you the gospel, the good news, that Jesus died for our sins. And that entire phrase is absolutely essential. Not just that Jesus died, but he died for our sins. Just like God said in the book of Isaiah 53, he died for our punishment. He died because of our penalty. He died to pay our price for every sin we have committed. Jesus died for our sin. That's the first thing of the gospel. The second is he was buried. And the third, he rose from the dead. And so we go through a likeness in coming to Christ of his death, burial, and resurrection. We die to ourselves. We die to our own life in order that we might become him, striving to live like him as much as we can. As he was buried, we are buried in baptism. And as he arose, we rise from that watery grave to walk in a new life in a way that belongs to Jesus. That's the good news. Romans 1:16. I'm sorry, didn't mean to put that up right yet. We'll take that back. We'll go a minute. Romans 1:16. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is God's power to salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first, but also to the whole world, to the Gentiles. For in it, in that righteousness, in that good news about Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, not how righteous God is, but the righteousness God gives to us, in that good news is made known to us how God makes us righteous, how God counts us and considers us as righteous. And it is from beginning to end by faith. You have to know who Jesus is. You have to believe what he did. You have to believe in him. You have to trust him. And from faith to faith, this gospel brings us in righteousness to God himself. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through verse 26. The Apostle Paul writes this, and he tells us again about the gospel. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God, how God makes us righteous. The righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith. Jesus Christ, or through faith in Jesus Christ, to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned. Everybody is guilty. Nobody deserves it. Everybody is lost because of their sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. That's the good news. Any way you look at it, it is good news. All of us, even though we were dead in our sins, are justified in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That one simple sentence sums it all up. Abraham didn't deserve what he received. He did not earn the label of being referred to as righteous. He hasn't deserved it. But God counted him that way. Why? Because God told him what he was going to do, and Abraham believed him. And because Abraham believed him, God counted him as righteous. And so this idea of this is by faith from beginning to end. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from the works. And remember, David said these words after his sin with Bathsheba was forgiven. And he says this, "Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them." Who's that person? The one who's heard the good news and believes it. The one who's heard the good news and puts his trust in it. Chapter 5, we'll just look at 3 or 4 verses. Read with me verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we have been justified, declared innocent, declared pardoned, declared righteous, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have nothing to fear from God. We have peace with God. We have nothing to fear in facing God in judgment. We have peace with God. We have nothing to fear. I don't know who's calling me. Somebody's not happy. Okay, I'm sorry. I need to turn my watch off. Which means what is happening is Simply Safe is calling me and somebody is breaking into my house. Not necessarily, it means my alarm may be going off. But we'll deal with that later in case y'all needed to know. Back to the more important thing in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Did we read that? We did, didn't we? Drop down to verse 6. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Our plan was that going forward, we would record the first service and then that would be what's played at the next 2 hours. And we were hoping that this would work out. It's going to work out if I leave my watch in the office and not have it in here anymore in order to be interrupted. So we may have to do something else. Get our focus back on the good news. Let's conclude with this. Think about it from this standpoint. Just a simple phrase to say to somebody when you want to present good news to them. Do you know that Jesus overcame death and so will you? And do you know that that's not necessarily the good news? Do you realize that that's not necessarily what the good news is all about? But in reality, it doesn't matter who you are. Do you know that because Jesus overcame death, you will too? In other words, after your death, you will live. So will every human being in the world. We will all be raised. But then we face God in judgment. Then we stand before God, and those who have believed God and trusted Him are separated from those who have not. And those who have not go to the second death. They die again. But those who have trusted Him have eternal life. And so the good news is, do you know that everything you have ever done wrong and everything you ever will do wrong is already paid for? Nobody needs to come and pay for it because it's already been done. Nobody needs to come and make amends for it on your behalf because it's already done. Jesus died on the cross to pay for all of our sins. And what God asks of us is to put our trust in Him. That's the good news. And that's the news we need to be sharing. Can you imagine the people who need to know everything you've done has been forgiven, paid for? Not forgiven until you trust it. But the forgiveness is there and available. The payment has already been made. And all we're to do is to believe it and to trust it. And it'll change our lives. There may be some here this morning who are ready to put on Christ. They're ready to come home to Christ. If there's anyone who wishes to become part of this great brotherhood of believers, we're going to give you an opportunity to in just a moment. If you have a private request and would like to talk to one of our elders or to have prayer with one of our elders, some of them will be in their elders' conference room when our services are dismissed. But if you need to and desire to respond to this invitation, we offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.